For my whole career, I've used D'Addario strings.
This is the one that I use live with Megadeth, and I love it.
I've been with D'Addario my whole career, even when I was playing bass in Van Halen. D'Addario for life. And I say it right, D'Addario.
So you've scrolled through everything on your Netflix playlist. Like and subscribe, and we'll give you some powerful content.
I can hear your tone getting better just now.
Hey, Doug.
How's it going?
Good. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too.
Hey, everybody. This is Doug Pettitone with Lucinda Williams. We are at the Basement East.
Pettibone.
Pettibone.
And I like
Pettibone, like, not Petty. Like, Freudian slip. Pettibone, not Pettitone.
Yeah, I like Pettibone.
Yeah. Pettitone's good. Hey, man. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
Tell me about this sexy guild before we started. Yeah. I said, wait, save it for the interview.
I was at Philly, and I went to get a set of strings, and, of course, I saw an amp that I wanted to try out. And
as you do.
And I picked this off the wall because it was green. I thought it looked cool.
Yeah.
And then as I'm leaving the shop, I said, how much was that guitar? And he said, that's $600. I'm like, sold. And it's got Seymour's. The guy put Seymour's in it.
And that's great.
And split the coil. So it's got...
So somebody else did all the work.
Yeah.
Making it the perfect guitar.
Exactly.
And you came in.
Yeah.
The low dollar bid.
Exactly. And no one got hurt, and I'm still married.
Perfect. So do you see it's got a split coil with
it's
that?
It's got a split coil.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. So you get that old-timey sound.
Oh, yeah. It's very Gretschy, right?
Right. That's what I wanted because I've got a Chet Atkins, a 64 at home.
Cool.
I didn't want to take my expensive guitars out because at one point they all got stolen.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to say where it happened. I'm not supposed to talk about it because I got them all back.
Oh, fabulous.
But since then, I've been trying to get guitars for under $1,000 to take out on the road.
Yeah, why not? Yeah.
And this is the first.
Well, it is very sexy. Do you live mainly on the single coil setting or?
No, I'm all over the place. If we're doing like an old time country thing,
Yeah, I love that.
And the Bixby-esque. Tremolo is fantastic.
Yeah, I loved hearing you guys on your sound check. You're doing all that, you know, dreamy Bigsby stuff. And then the steel thing, it's the perfect counterpart to it.
I just got to learn how to do them both at the same time.
Yeah, that's a tough adjustment. Right. Yeah. Well, let's see what else you're carrying.
Okay.
Love the Guild. Very cool.
Yeah. Got that, and I got, here's another under $1,000 guitar, kids, for who don't have a big budget. I got this in Australia.
Oh, really? Wow.
A couple months ago.
Okay, from the floor, it just looked like a 335.
And it sounds really, really great. Plays amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great.
$500.
God, they perfect.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was looking for a 335, but I didn't have like $6,000.
Yeah.
To throw down on one.
Sure.
And I was in Australia, I guess they get a lot of stuff from Japan because of the proximity.
Oh yeah.
And we went vintage shopping one day, and I was walking out the door, and Mark, the other guitar player, said, "Doug, did you see that 335?" And went back and picked it up, like, sold.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I love it.
Now, what is the name of the company?
Tokai.
Huh. Well, okay.
You never heard of it?
No, I have. You know, for some reason, that font, I thought it was a J.
Right.
It's like, Jokai.
Jokai. I guess Stevie Ray Vaughan used to play at Tokai.
Yeah, I've seen it before. I've never seen this, so.
But I believe in the Japanese instrument makers. I mean, they make
absolutely
great pianos and guitars forever.
Oh God, yeah. Yeah, forever.
So this is my latest purchase. That was about 6 months ago.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thanks.
Yeah, it sounds great, looks great.
Yeah, it feels great. It plays just as good as a
yeah.
Gibson.
And if it's stolen, it's not going to...
Exactly.
It's not going to kill you. Yeah.
It's not going to break my heart.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want to see another one?
I do. Okay. I want to see them all. I want to see the whole enchilada.
This one I got brand new in 82.
Wow.
It's the first year that they started reissuing.
Yeah.
The 62. And all this is all... natural. That all happened.
You gigging. put some miles
top
on that.
40, top 40 gigs for like, you know, 4 years every night.
God, that's great. And you bought it brand new.
Brand new. And what you don't want to do is light your guitar on fire.
Well.
I was at a rehearsal that I was not having fun. I didn't want to be there. And I was using a lighter to play slide with.
Yeah.
And then at one point I just went, what happens if I just put it up to the paint? And
sure.
It went.
Yeah.
With this most beautiful bluish, orange, and yellow flame.
Yeah.
And I let it burn just a little too long. I wish I hadn't done that.
So was it a nitro? Is it a nitro finish?
I think so.
Yeah, there you go. The burn, if it passes the burn test, I don't think their newer finishes do that.
But I've taken it over to Norman's Rare Guitars. And he looked at it and he goes, I didn't know you had this. And then he took looking it over and then he took it. He looked at the serial number and he went, oh, shoot.
Yeah, you got it.
I got him. And that's hard to do.
Yeah, right.
But the sticker came off. I was playing a gig and they had the fog machines happening. And I went to wipe off my guitar and the sticker just went, because the chemicals and
sure,
that
yeah.
stuff.
But yeah, that's great.
Seymour's.
Okay, so I'm curious, in 1982, what did you pay for it?
Probably $600.
So we're right around the $500 or $600.
Exactly, but now it's worth a lot more.
Oh yeah, a lot of yeah.
Because I think it was made in Fullerton.
And that would break your heart to lose
this
that one.
This one would, because this is my main.
Yeah, you grew up together.
Kinda, yeah. And this one is a hammer tone.
Oh, what?
It's an octave 12.
Oh, how cool! Oh, see, I thought it was a mandolin, but it's a. Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's got a nice little...
I love the George Jetson aesthetic
right?
of it all. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's painted with crinkle engine paint, like block
right?
paint.
Yeah.
Super high temperature paint. I don't know why they did that.
That
probably
looks great.
For the look.
Yeah.
But I've had this probably since 2000.
Yeah, very cool.
I was playing with Tracy Chapman, and she wanted me to do some mandolin stuff, and I did play
cool.
mandolin at the time, so I got this. And
close enough.
Great.
Yeah, close enough. And you just run that like your electric, same
yeah.
rig.
Yeah, everything runs through the same rig.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. Well, let's see this last one. This looks yeah. like a junior, perhaps?
It's a junior. My buddy used to work at this storage place in L.A., and... this is Axl Rose's old guitar.
Really?
And Guns N' Roses had all their stuff stored in there, and I guess they didn't pay the bill, and they said, we're gonna keep some of your instruments unless you pay your bill. So they went in, they took out a bunch of stuff, but they left this, and he got it. And I said, if you ever want to sell that, let me know. So at the end of the month when his rent was due, he called me up. And I got it for, I think, $1,200.
Like, so double your $500 to $600.
Double my thing, but like
totally
six months later, they went up to like $12,000.
Oh God! Is this in the old '60s or old
'59? It's a
52
or 58. Wow. 58.
God, good for
and
you.
And for some reason, they put these little string.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Things up there.
Oh, that's cool.
But it's never neck's never been broken. That's
wow.
Axel's DNA all over it.
Oh, yeah. You could clone him from that guitar.
Probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, in the next few years, yeah.
Yeah, great.
But I love this thing. It's
oh,
just,
God,
just
yeah. Yeah, that's cool. Well, you know, you've got every sonic tone covered over there.
Pretty much.
And what you don't cover there, you got on this thing, on
oh, yeah.
that steel.
Yeah, I got that '99. I ordered it brand new from Emmons.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
I was playing with Jewel at the time, and... This was my second stud. I had a Showbud Maverick, like the Steve bottle.
Yeah.
And it sounded all right, but then
But this I wanted
a real
deal.
One.
Right.
So I got this, and I wanted him to paint it like an old Stratocaster.
Oh, how cool.
Like the Sunburst.
Right.
I thought it was going to be three-tone.
Yeah.
But when I got it back, it's like, I don't know if I dig it, but I really like it now.
Yeah. Oh, it's great.
Yeah, it plays great. It stays in tune. I've had it all over the world for the last 25 years, and it doesn't go out of tune. You can take it out of the case, and it's pretty much in tune.
Dead on, huh?
Yeah.
That's great. And you just run it into that old twin of the 15.
Yeah, it's a 64 twin with a 70s JBL orange 15-inch speaker.
How cool. And the Strymon in front.
A little Strymon, yeah, a little delay on it.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Okay, and for your guitar rig?
That's a 68 Deluxe Reverb with a Celestion greenback in it.
Cool. And then what's on the ground here? What are you running?
This is Catlin Bread.
Sure.
First I go in Wah, and then the Earth Drive. Brad Sarno makes these, and he built them for steel guitars.
Oh.
For overdrive for steel, but they work great for six string guitars. And then I usually use a Zvex Buzz Factory. That's been my pedal forever, since like the late 90s. But I didn't bring it with me. But Durham makes this. It's the closest thing to a Fuzz Factory that I have with me.
Cool.
And then Keeley modified blues driver.
Right.
I love this pedal. Keeley modified tremolo. These are bulletproof.
How long ago did you get Robert to modify those? Like 20 years ago, or?
I bought them used, already modified. Yeah. But the first one I got was a tremolo. I really loved what he did with it.
Oh, yeah. That's a huge upgrade.
Yeah, but the blues driver is a seriously great pedal.
Yeah, that's great.
And then I love this this reverb. Mad Professor Silver Spring. It's the best. I think it's the best sounding spring reverb.
Yeah.
And this is great, too. It's just like a tape echo. Nice and warm.
Yeah. Well, you guys sounded great during the sound check.
Thanks.
It, yeah. Now I know you guys got a show coming up. We're gonna kind of get to Mark before too late.
Yeah.
But hey, Doug, such a pleasure meeting you.
Pleasure
thank
to meet you.
You
too. Thank you.
We'll talk to your partner in crime, Mark.
Okay. That sounds great. Thanks.
Hey everybody, I'm John Bollinger with Premier Guitar. So as many of you know, D'Addario's been a longtime friend of PG, sponsoring Rig Rundowns, and they're a longtime friend of all the players with their Players Circle Rewards. I've been using it for years, and essentially, they will reward you for the gear you buy. Open it up, look inside, and there's a reward number. It's free and easy to sign up for. And as soon as you sign up, you immediately get some reward points just for putting your name in. After a while, you accumulate enough where you can buy more of this fantastic D'Addario gear. So as a Players Circle Rewards member, you get discounts on custom products and merch, you get free shipping, and you get a discount on the gear you're buying with your points, or free gear, depending on that. And if you're charitable, you could donate your Players Reward points for musical education. So collect those points, buy the great gear, and let's get back to more rundowns. Okay, now I'm with Mark Ford. Hey, Mark, so good to see you again.
You too, man.
You know, last time I saw you with Rich Robinson in the...
Magpie Salute?
Yes, Magpie Salute, yeah. Right. What a cool band.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, yeah. And I think you might have had this guitar, this
probably
Asher.
Did, yeah.
Tell me about this thing.
This is just, you know, with Bill, I've got a signature model. I've been playing his guitars for years. But then he's been working on this model for so long, and I sort of... kind of coveted from the side all the time, going like, man, that's, I know we got a signature model and all, but. So when the Magpie thing kind of came up, I didn't have available to me a humbucker guitar. And so I kind of borrowed this from Bill, and you know, and then when I did, I said, I can't give it back.
Yeah.
It's pretty cool. You know, it does a thing that nothing else does. So.
Yeah. And you've always been kind of leaned towards the single coil thing, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, they seem to be more expressive. You know,
yeah.
you can manipulate them a little more.
Yeah.
It works hard. You got to work harder at it.
Right, right. But they kind of punch through a mix, you know.
Sure do, yeah. They come right through the center of your eyes.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I love this thing. So.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a one solid piece.
Oh, wow.
All the way, like a Firebird or, you know. Yeah,
right.
So, it's a...
Great.
Snotty.
Yeah. And you know, it's at this point, it's so hard to come up with a new design, but I don't think I've ever seen that. It's its own weird,
thing. It is.
Yeah.
It can do a lot of things, though. You know what I mean?
All the neck access you could hope for, and it sounds great.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. Excellent start. I want to see the next one.
All right. Let's go down the line, I guess. I got this a few weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Nash.
Oh, yeah.
Telly.
Yeah. Yeah, that's great. That's about as telly as it gets.
Yep. It's, you know, I needed one with a maple neck.
So sure. Yeah.
Everybody does.
Yeah. They got it right the first time. Yeah, that's great. Okay. Love it.
You know, everyone's seen Telecasters.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Nashville, it used to be you could not, they wouldn't let you in town without one.
Right.
They stopped you at the border.
Right.
For a telly check.
Right. Well, here's something.
Now, this
something
one
you don't
I
see.
Saw you playing. This is really cool.
Yeah, this is a guy. He was in New Mexico, and this was a gift to me. Someone bought it for me, and he's since moved to Hawaii. But Wide Sky, and it's incredible, just you know, beautiful guitar. So, you know, this shape you don't see in Nashville very
often. Yeah, right.
I've seen you playing them a couple times, right?
Yeah.
You've got like a Les Paul that you playing around.
Kind of a standard sort of look like that.
Is it a Fano?
No, my main guitar, it's called the Music City Les Paul, but it is the same shape as that.
Okay.
Junior kind of thing.
Yeah,
that's great.
So yeah, I mean, nothing new or you know, technologically advanced or anything, but we're not going for that.
Yeah, perfect.
And this is I've had this for 20 years. Is it?
Oh, really?
About it. In 04, when this was the 50-year anniversary of the 54.
Oh, right.
And it's maybe my favorite guitar.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
So what strings do you use?
I'm just using the same ones that Doug's using, I think. Yeah. 10-gauge. Yeah. To Dario, I believe.
Sounds about right. Whatever they're stringing it up with.
Right.
But
yeah.
Tens, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. I change quite a bit just to keep myself engaged sometimes.
Yeah.
Just change up the tension and the feel, just, you know, so I don't turn on autopilot.
Sure.
And start doing stupid habits. And
boy, there's something to that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do it once in a while.
Yeah.
Fool myself.
Wait, and what picks you usually use?
These are Fender mediums.
But you play with your fingers a lot in palm,
right? I do,
right?
Yeah. And I tend to use it upside down to get the heel of it.
Sure.
A little more meat.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, now tell me about these two crazy amps you got back.
Well, we're not using the Headstrong right now, but that's another amp I've had probably 20 years. Yeah, Wayne made that for me just after the Reunion Crows tour.
Okay, yeah, you put some miles on that thing.
Yeah, it's he makes amazing amplifiers. I've been seeing a lot of them around here.
Yeah.
And then this is a new thing that Adam over at Satellite and I talked about making. It's got 210s in it. And
wow.
It's about, you know, 20, 25 British watts, kind of, you know.
So does it just have, like, volume and tone?
Yes,
I love those big knobs.
I get confused over
it. Yeah, right.
No, it's just super touch sensitive and, you know.
Yeah.
So it can do, it does what I want it to do.
Sure. And your pedal board is fairly modest, although it doesn't seem like you really turn on a lot of pedals.
Especially when we go to Europe, we don't really bring our stuff. So I bring one overdrive pedal.
Oh, really? Wow. So you got clean
and
dirty.
A lot of this is made for studio. Like, there's a lot of variations for gain and boost. I just don't need it live.
So on an average night with Lucinda, what do you tend to use?
Well, I'll use either side of this for boost.
Yeah.
I'll hit the fuzz a couple
times. And
that's times.
The BMF?
This is, yeah, BMF. It's basically two of his, it's a boost pedal and a treble booster kind of thing. And and his purple Nurple.
Oh, okay.
Together. And then this is the front end of an old white amplifier.
Oh.
That Adam put together. This is a distortion box. It's pretty incredible.
Fog cutter.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is his pedal also. It's the Johnny Two Bags Eradicator. It's a tube preamplifier, basically, is what it is.
Johnny Two Bags.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah. Plays guitar for Social Distortion.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's a great name.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Yeah. There's a story with that name.
Yeah, I'm sure. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I want to hang with that guy.
Yeah. So it's all these variations of gain, kind of really, then a couple of delays. And this modified thing, Analog Man did the.
Oh, kind of a Phase 90-ish. Wow.
Yeah, but it's got a. You can kind of switch the phase a little bit.
Oh, wow.
So you get a little bit of the wee.
Wow, that's cool. Oh, yeah, that's really hip, man.
And just this.
Is that the Catlin bread?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. Yeah, just for a little
preamp
slap.
The preamp in that thing is really great, too. Yeah.
Right.
And then it's got a record drive on it, so it's like how hard it hits tape kind of thing.
Oh, cool.
So you get some pretty trick sounds of it.
Yeah.
But that's kind of it in the wall, you know.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. Well, Mark, man, it is so good to see you again.
You too.
Yeah, you guys sounded, soundcheck sounded amazing.
Thank you.
We're going to talk to your partner in crime on bass.
Excellent.
Right, y'all, now I'm with David Sutton. David, hey, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell me about this bass. What's this mystery?
This is brand new, Christmas morning. I'm 16 years old.
Nice.
And it's a P bass, and it went through everything. A badass one.
Sure.
An extra pickup. That's taken away. I went through my Jocko phase, pounded out the frets. Lasted about a year and a half, and then I bought this Warmoth. And then it was just, I would just sit around and play it for games, watching football games or something.
Yeah.
Because I could never get it to sound good until I put on the thickest set of Bella flats I could find.
Really?
And now it's my main live bass.
Huh.
It's just crazy.
So you got it when you were 16.
Yeah.
And how long did it take until you like had it dialed in?
Until about 2 years.
That's great.
Yeah, crazy.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, some high mileage.
I mean,
there's
the only thing original is the body.
Oh, that's great. Yeah.
And all that paint is worn off. It's in my bloodstream.
Yeah. That can't be good for you.
No.
Yeah. Oh, that's great, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a gift from your mom and dad.
Exact Christmas morning was you could it was like a mirror. I could it was
oh
great.
God,
that's, not so much.
Oh, that's great, yeah. Man. That's great. Okay, and then tell me about this very sexy craftsman
this,
back here.
This is an old. It's a K, and so I what I'm told it says Craftsman because Sears distributed it back in the day. So it's. You know, Sears tools were Craftsman,
oh, really?
But this says Craftsman has a K.
Oh yeah.
So that was her thing. Yeah. So I've got another one that I keep at home that just says K on it. So
yeah.
Yeah, but it's the exact same
thing. I've seen some Craftsman guitars with that weird thing on it.
Yeah.
And you know.
Everyone asks about this bass all the time. It's
God,
just,
it is so cool.
Yeah.
Man.
It just sits in a place sonically that, you know,
yeah.
Right in between the upright and the.
Right.
Yeah, just,
yeah. It seems like it, yeah. It seems like upright with a little more definition.
Yeah.
You kind of know where the note is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, can we hear that thing? Can
sure.
We, so do you wish you would have pulled the frets out of the Warmoth neck instead of the original?
Yeah, it was a maple, of course. Of course. And I wish I wouldn't have drilled out, routed it out for the bridge.
Yeah.
Did you see how heavy that was?
Yeah.
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 I'm not going to do four sets enough.
Yeah.
Like when I was a kid, there's no effing
right.
way.
Right. Yeah, but this thing, God, yeah. It's light
it's
as
just,
a feather, right?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Wow. Wow. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That crazy pickup, right?
Yeah. I don't know what they
probably
call it.
Single coil, but it's no 60
yeah.
cycle hum.
Yeah, but you still gotta.
You find the sweet spot.
You gotta find the sweet spot.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I use this a lot. So.
God, I
yeah.
bet. Sounds great.
Yeah.
Light.
Yeah.
So tell me about what's going on back there.
So basically, everything I own, nothing, is older than 1976.
Huh.
And that would be the bass.
Okay.
I think the SVT head. And the cabinet I've owned since I was 18 years old.
Nice.
Which, a long time ago.
Yeah.
So it's just, I don't know, it's the tone that speaks to me.
Oh, yeah, it's great. And as long as you got a crew to move that thing.
And believe me, I moved that a lot back in the day.
Yeah.
Pushing it into the back of a little wagon, you know.
Sure.
Yeah. So.
Sure, luckily somebody else is doing that schlep.
Yeah, I'm not.
Now,
yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Okay, show me what's on the floor here.
Real simple, nothing much. Just the tone bone is just to route some effect. The only really effect I have is sometimes on the breakdowns, I'll do a little tremolo part, you know. It's, you know. Almost kind of mimicking a whirly sometimes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah, that's cool.
And other than that, I just kind of have just clean. My next, I got kind of three boosts. So the one is just a clean boost out of the radio.
Yeah.
Just a volume change.
Yeah.
And then I got this old Sans amp that up kind of takes it up higher than that.
Sure.
So yeah. More low end, a little bit grit.
So essentially it's just you turn up and you turn down.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. You can't really do a lot because there's a lot of competition sonically.
Yeah, a lot going
there.
On. Oh yeah, you get a lot of guitar fire
yeah.
over
so
there.
So you find your spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys sounded amazing. That's
oh, thank
a,
you.
Yeah, killer
thank
band. You. Well, great. Well, hey, David,
right.
Such a pleasure. Before we go, though, I want to ask, what strings are you running on both these?
Do
you...
So those are the Labella. I call
super...
them Jamersons. Yeah, they're the 54. Like
the Jamersons.
They are so heavy and you can't overplay.
Do you ever change them?
Never.
Never. Yeah.
And then you would think this would be flats.
Yeah.
Flats don't sound good on this.
Huh.
There is the really, really old round wounds.
Oh, really?
And you just pray that they don't break.
Yeah.
Because new round wounds on this is horrible.
Huh.
So really dead round wounds on this and flats on
there. Wow. Yeah. So there you go, kids. Don't change your strings.
Don't break them.
Yeah.
Don't break.
Don't change them. Don't break them. Right, y'all. To Cindy Williams. Catch her on the road.